Pretty cool. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular meeting for January 13th, 2015. The time is just after 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, and Gearing.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen, will you please lead us in the pledge?
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on this evening's agenda is a presentation from the YMCA. Nate Anderson, will you come forward, please? Thank you.
We moved it.
Yes, please. Podium will be great. Yes.
Thank you very much for having me here this evening. I see some familiar faces kind of around the room from the YMCA, from my neighborhood, from my church, from my house, my son back there. So if any of you familiar faces ask tough questions or long division, I know where to get you. While I was coming over here today, you know, Matthew was with me and asked and said, why are you giving this presentation? Why are you here today? Talk about the YMCA. I thought that was a great question. Bottom line is I'm new in terms of my position at the YMCA as chair of the board of directors. I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of inform everybody about what the YMCA is up to, what our strategic vision is, what our strategic goals are, and to just get on your radar screen, recognizing that we have complementary responsibilities, we have complementary opportunities to help the community, and I want to be out of sight or out of mind. So I'm here today to give a brief presentation. I want to honor the 5 minutes that I've been given. I'll try very hard not to run over.
For presentations, we allow 10, but 5 is fine, too.
You don't want to give them that long. No.
You just want to give me 2 minutes. Again, so my name is Nathan Anderson. My family and I have lived in the Monroe community for about 9 years now. And we've been active members of the YMCA, using many of their services and volunteering our time as well, because we do have a big belief in the mission there. One of the reasons why I choose to volunteer my time at the YMCA is I've been very fortunate. I've had two wonderful parents who are excellent role models. Both of my parents came from broken homes, situations where there was divorce, situations where there was abuse. And both of them lifted themselves up because they had a safe place. Sometimes it was just an hour a week. Sometimes it was just a friendly face. But each of them had that safe place during the week where they could go to. And recognizing that I am the beneficiary of that safe place that both my parents had, I wanted to give back, because I think the YMCA ultimately is that safe place for a lot of people in the community. So that's kind of at the most fundamental level, that's why I choose to volunteer my time at the YMCA. The YMCA's mission and strategic goals, we've recently gone through that mission and goal-setting process, and are to inspire, nurture, and strengthen culturally vibrant communities through youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility. So I want to touch on those kind of three pillars there, those goals of youth development, healthy living, and social responsibility, and talk about some of the highlights that we've been able to realize over the last year. With regard to youth development, we have a teen center. The teen center serves at least 30 kids a day after school. As part of this, we have a minibus that picks up teens at multiple locations. The teens do not have to be members of the YMCA to go to the teen center completely free. And this is one of the initiatives at the YMCA that's kind of close to my heart, given the fact that there are a lot of the teens that we serve really do need that one safe place. Even if it's for an hour a week, where they kind of not be afraid. Another initiative we have is some of our education initiatives. We have after-school childcare sites at 3 elementary schools. We bus in from 2 other schools and serve up to 90 kids per day, where the focus really is on education, homework, and enrichment activities. And this has also been one of those initiatives that I think is a success story for YMCA and have more than 10 minutes, I can go into it. But I do encourage you, if you have any questions, Pat's can get you in contact with me, because this is one of those programs where I feel like if there are opportunities in the future to partner, be it with the city council, be it with the city government, or anybody else in any fashion, this is something that we'd definitely like to be involved in. So keep us on your radar screen and see as you might think about partnership opportunities in the future. One of the other pillars of social responsibility, we have a youth and government program. Without getting into details, I've made a career in government at the federal level, so I've enjoyed working with the teens and the youth and government programs to try to kind of cultivate the young leaders of tomorrow. This is a well-received program, and the kids who get invested in it are all fully in, and they usually culminate their experience with a trip down to Olympia. Government in action. That's two words: in space action. And then also let me talk briefly about healthy living. You can't really think about the YMCA without thinking about some of our healthy living. One of the recent ones is a summer track program, which is free to the community. We had about 60 kids on average, two times a week for 7 weeks at Monroe High School. We have youth sports that serves about 2,000 kids a year in our sports program. And we are in active partnership with Monroe Lacrosse. I could go on, but we have a lot of information on our website that gets into some of the highlights from 2014. Our focus for 2015 is to continue focusing on the teen and education programs, corporate wellness, seniors, helping people achieve their health goals, and financial assistance. We give out about $300,000 a year in financial assistance. Before I end, I did want to talk about what partnership with the Y can mean at the personal level. There's one story from a 5-year-old named Eduardo, and I'll briefly read this to you. This was written in part by his mother, Mariella. But like any mother, Mariella worries about her son. At age one, Eduardo was diagnosed with kidney failure. Now he's 5, and he's currently on dialysis and awaiting a kidney transplant. The Y has provided Mariella with a scholarship so Eduardo could attend preschool and kindergarten camp throughout the summer. Eduardo attended all the field trips, participated in all activities, and was fully integrated into the group. By the end of the summer, he was actively engaging with other kids, playing, and having fun. That, in the story, is one of the reasons why I completed a volunteer at National YMCA. So, thank you very much for allowing me to come give a brief presentation about the Y. Happy to answer any questions you have, or if anyone brings over about partnerships, I'm here for that as well.
Council, any questions, or Councilmember Hanford?
Yes, thank you for coming tonight, Shane. My family has benefited greatly from the Y here in Monroe, almost since the day it opened, and we are very appreciative for everything that you guys do for our community and for my family. So, very much appreciate everything that you guys do.
Well, and I want to add that you make a choice by coming to the YMCA as well, and what you choose to pay in membership, which is a bit more than you would perhaps pay at some of the other places in town, helps kids like Eduardo, helps these programs, helps these initiatives for people who sometimes just need either a safe place or just a little bit of extra help. So, thank you.
Right. For somebody that's a frequent flyer of both your Everett branch and also your Monroe branch, I know you're open at 4:30. I know that Councilmember Rasmussen does too. I saw him there yesterday morning. I really appreciate all that the YMCA brings to Snohomish County, and also just the region. You give a safe place for people to go work out and do things. You give a place where people can go and work out where their kids are cared for. I see people learning how to cook in the kitchen, and while at the same time people are doing Zumba and other things that I have no coordination for. I might do okay if you combine the two. So thank you very much for everything that you do. And I think Councilmember Hanford has another comment or question.
Yeah, a question. Have you ever considered opening at 4 a.m. instead of 4:30?
Well, one of the reasons they open a little earlier on Sundays, because I complained to Pat before I was there to volunteer. So we're going in that direction.
And then I got him to volunteer.
I can't promise anything, but I can tell you that that I'm also getting leverage in that direction.
Good.
Because that would increase my utilization of the Y.
4 a.m.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I just need that half an hour, otherwise I can't do it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Anything else, Council?
Thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item we have on the agenda for this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We ask that your public comment be limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Do we have a sign-up sheet this evening? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Anybody? Okay. We're going to go ahead and move on then to the consent agenda. Councilmember Gehring?
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from, I think, Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next item on the agenda is under unfinished business, and this is AB 15007. I'm going to say it, AB 15007. This is discussion, coffee stand regulations, and I think that you have this one, Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, back in October 2014, Council had some discussion on this particular ordinance and asked if it was possible to add some language, especially to encompass retail food and drink stands. So we did some research. We actually looked at 10 different cities, which we've listed here on the agenda bill for you. And of those, only Everett and Linwood had some similar language that was kind of heading in the direction that Council was contemplating. So with that, we turn this over to the city attorney, and he did a bit of research on his own, and then he has drafted some proposed language and that type of thing as well, and I'm open for discussion, I guess.
Councilmember Gehring?
Thanks. I was gone this night, so I was glad to be able to catch up a little bit on this. And so everything that we see here, the black underlines, for example, on the sample ordinance, Section E, that's the stuff from the attorney Lell.
Correct.
And then the yellow highlights is the, and so this is a section from from Everett. I see. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's from Everett. And the yellow would then be kind of the stuff that kind of backs up the position we're taking. Other cities are doing it as well.
Exactly.
And that's what the, and kind of hence the changes to the proposed changes to what we have.
Correct. Okay. The highlighted stuff was things that we had found in the other cities' language. Yes. Okay.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And to be clear, we're borrowing language.
Don't reinvent the wheel. That's okay.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. The I think Everett has a. I don't want to have people get confused that Everett, if I'm not mistaken, does allow these sorts of coffee stands to a certain degree. And so when you're reading this, what we've borrowed is definitions. I think. And so for those of you that might be listening that know what happens in Everett, the intent here is not to have those sorts of baristas in Everett, but we're borrowing definitional language and then using that to disallow those sorts of activities in these areas. Does that make sense? Okay, because Everett does have, as I understand it, the ability to have some of these bikini barista stands. So that's not the direction we're going, but we're using the language from Everett and Linwood, as I understand it, to disallow it. So, okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah. Can you clarify, Gene, about people getting out of the vehicles at the drive-up window? I'm reading this, and I just would like to have it clarified as far as what exactly does that mean? Because I'm constantly seeing that here in town. So,
well, it's my understanding that it would have to be viewed by an officer. Is that correct, Chief? Can you speak to that?
I haven't seen this.
Okay.
So, if I'm reading E correctly, it would prohibit it would relate to both drive-up coffee stands like we have today, as well as walk-up. Is that the question? I would suspect that somebody could park and then walk up to the stand, and so this is intended to take care of both the drive-up and the walk-up window.
Yeah, because I was going that night also, and so I tried to make the most sense of it as I could, but honestly, I'm just not quite clear in my mind yet, so would just love to get some clarity and on what exactly we're saying.
Okay, I can certainly review that with the city attorney and get better clarity and bring that back to you.
Sure, I mean, and maybe somebody else already has a great understanding of it, but...
Gotcha, okay.
I apologize.
No, that's okay.
Let me just look at this really quickly. Okay, so Chief, the ordinance that we're looking at here... Yeah, the city of ordinance. I'm looking at attachment 1, which I think is what Councilmember Hanford was looking at. And the language, section 1E, public or public display means, and then we're adding open to public view or otherwise clearly, and then it says visible from a public thoroughfare, ... and then we're adding some additional language. Okay, is that what you're looking at, Councilmember Hanford?
Correct, page 3.
There are different ways to write codes, and what I'm seeing here is a change only to the definition of public and public display. I'm understanding that there's the rest of the code in 9.06, which would use the definition of public and public display, to which we're adding to say that you can't do things, certain lewd acts that are in public display. Is that... there's a part of the code that points to this, correct? Okay. Councilmember Cutterback?
Well, I have a question about whether this... I understand clarifying it, whether it solves the issue. We had numerous people come before council pretty upset with some of the behavior that they saw at the coffee stands. And I'm wondering, with Everett and Linwood, have they seen success in changing their code, that it's limited certain behavior, that they have less complaints from citizens? Do you know?
I haven't asked that specific question, okay. But I'm not confident that because their language has changed that it's helped them all that much.
Yeah, I mean, that I think it's great that we clarify and the code and make it so a public place is clearly defined and it includes the coffee stands more so than it did. But I would hate us to think that this might solve the issue. We had so many people come before us pretty upset with some of the behavior. And then the other issue has really been the enforcement. I mean, even changing the code. I mean, I think the chief has said before, it's incredibly hard, no matter what the code says, to catch or to enforce, you know, the behavior, because they're not doing it usually in front of a police officer, and they're pretty aware of that. So even changing the code, I don't think gets us probably to where we want to be or where the public would feel satisfied. So... just my thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I'll echo what Councilmember Cutterback said. I guess to try and clarify just a little bit, when looking through Everett's definitions, public place, page 5, letter B, the last part of letter B, and businesses containing structures which can serve customers who remain in their vehicles by means of a drive-up window. Mm-hmm. And when I look back at page 3 at our definition, I'm just not seeing seeing that. It says through a drive-up or walk-up window door or similar means. So, I mean, in my mind, I like Everett's definition because it's, if I'm understanding this correctly, it's saying if you're going to go to this establishment, you cannot get out of your car. And I know with, at least that's my understanding, and I know with some drive-through restaurants and places, you can't walk up. They won't serve you. They'll say, sorry, you need to, this is only a drive-through. You cannot just walk up here. So I'm not sure if we can work that into the language or if that already is and I'm just missing it.
So let me clarify. So do I understand that you want to prohibit people from parking and then walking up to a window to order food?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, so like there's a place called Zeke's or something just outside of Gold Bar where you park and you walk up to get food. You would want to prohibit that?
No. I'm saying for a sexually oriented business, that's a drive-up or drive-through, that's exactly what people should be doing is driving through. If we're going to have this, allow this in our town, then let's have them drive up, and but not be allowed to get out of their car and have things be much more accessible.
Okay, so, I'm sorry, just a second. And Brazel, I'll come back to you. Okay, so just to follow the thread here, the definition in the code would be changed to expand the definition of a public place to include essentially coffee stands. I'm going to put that in air quotes right now. What's missing in the ordinance that you're looking at there is the balance of the ordinance. And I just want to make certain that this isn't the question, or if it is, that I'm answering the question.
Sure.
The balance of the ordinance, which I just pulled up in the Monroe Municipal Code 9.06, prohibits lewd acts, which is also a definition. And if you want to see what lewd acts are, you can certainly look at it. I'm not going to
read those out loud.
No, I'm not reading those out loud.
Oh, all right.
But there are lewd acts that are prohibited in public spaces, and by changing the definition the way the ordinance is presented to you, is that it is specifically saying that a coffee stand would be considered a public space. So whether it's a walk-up or a drive-through, whether you're serving hamburgers and milkshakes or you're serving coffee, a lewd act could not be committed in a structure that, while you might presume there's some degree of privacy, there really isn't because there are big windows and people can kind of see what's going on. So what you're missing there in that ordinance, and it's how we write our ordinances here, we don't show the whole code.
Sure.
So you don't just get the strikeout and underline of everything. You're just seeing the one definition. It's out of context. Is that lewd acts would be prohibited essentially in drive-through facilities.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that definitely helps me understand it. To follow up with that, I guess I'm wondering, do we want, and that's something to consider, do we want to go a step further by clarifying that those are drive-through only? I don't know. I mean, in my mind, that decreases the possibility of a lewd act being committed by having the person in their car and not just walking up to do whatever and be a lot closer to whatever could go on. I'm just throwing that out there. I work in Everett. They're all over the place. I drive by them, and there's people. I see people standing at the window, and I've seen it here in Monroe, standing at the window. And you got to wonder, number one, how safe does this individual inside working feel, knowing that this person's not in their car, they're this close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, what kind of shielding does that provide? Because the person's blocking the view, so now the person inside the booth can be doing whatever they want because they know that no one else on the sidewalk can see. That's my concern. So I'll just throw that out there. And it doesn't have to be answered tonight, but this is a discussion, right? So.
Okay. And I'd like to say one more thing, that from what I can tell when I am looking at the definition of lewd act, and I'm assuming sexually explicit also applies to being prohibited in a public setting, it doesn't refer to prohibiting people from wearing bikinis. So remember, at one point in time I asked the question, is the intent to tell people that you can't wear a bikini and serve coffee?
Sure.
And some council members said yes, some council members said no. And so you still could have people wearing bikinis serving coffee, if I'm reading this correctly. But again, I would encourage you to look at the definition of sexually explicit and lewd act so that you can understand the things that would be prohibited, so that you can then understand what isn't encompassed by this.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets to both points that you were both making, which is that people probably still could serve coffee, but you shouldn't be having the other things going on. And I'm going to go ahead and go to Mr. Brazel, and then we'll go through the council members.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just a second. You still have the floor. Did you have anything else?
No, that's all.
Okay, sorry, council member.
Sorry.
Gene.
It's okay. Thank you for the clarification. I missed that in our first discussion, that you were concerned about people walking up at the drive-through. So I can have that conversation with the city attorney.
Would you yield for a second?
You bet.
I wasn't even here for the...
Okay.
The first meeting where we actually talked about this. So that's, you didn't miss anything.
Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah.
The other thing, I heard the term thrown out is sexually oriented business. This is not, that
exactly.
Doesn't fit that category. That's
yeah.
A whole other topic.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to be clear on that this is not a sexually oriented business.
Right.
Totally different topic. So thank you.
Then it would be so different.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Mayor, I think you kind of answer my question, but just to reiterate, so when we discussed this back in October, I believe it was, it was presented as bikini baristas or so forth, but the clarification that came down was it's not necessarily the dress that's being discussed, it's the conduct that can result that could result from scantily clad dressed.
It's the behavior,
right,
behavior
exactly.
Or the conduct, right?
So coming forward to today, I mean, that is still the cases of this discussion. It's not necessarily the dress code, but it's the lewd act that could happen because of the way someone's dressed. And I'm clear on that, correct? That's what we're discussing.
Well, it's lewd acts and sexually explicit activity.
Okay. With the addition of including...
Just a second. Chief, did I miss something?
It's just lewd acts. It's not how we're dressed.
Right. Okay. And that's why I'm trying to make sure that I understand correctly, because how it's presented is it does come across as we're talking about the way someone's dressed, but it's truly the acts that could result of the way someone's dressed. With the revisions that are before us, or possible revisions or suggestions like from Everett's code, though, it specifically calls out drive-ups, food service, and so forth, correct? Okay. The lewd acts that seemed illegal or were illegal before, I mean, they still are now, having that revision, I mean, is fine. But I think to Councilmember Cutterback's point, the feedback that we all got and the concerns we all got, you know, were, yes, the acts that happened, but more so, at least my understanding, based off the feedback, was there was a lot more concern about the dress, or fix the dress code, if you will, the lewd acts would go away. It's kind of what I was hearing from the public. As a council, is that our role to legislate a dress code? It's kind of the big question right now. So, you know, looking at this, I think, you know, it encompasses what we discussed last time and defines or clarifies the the code, but does that solve what the feedback we've gotten? So that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. And I appreciate that point, hearing what people were saying last time. I'm certainly more focused on making sure that the lewd acts don't happen. People wear bikinis doing car washes and stuff like that. I think while that sounds like that's what we heard, I don't think we can go down that path because legally I think we're going to run into some issues there. And I think a coffee stand is really a coffee stand regardless if it's a bikini barista or a regular barista. So for from that standpoint, I don't think we can say at a bikini barista you can't get out of your car. There's the Chevron by the high school. It's not a bikini barista, but you know, I'm filling it with gas. I walk over there, get my coffee, and come back. And so I think a lot of people do. There's the one right next to where the indoor soccer place used to be. And I used to walk, just walk out there and get that too. Mm-hmm. I absolutely understand your point. Why are you walking up to this place? And I think there could be a safety issue there as well. I do think that. As I look at these changes, it is at least action and responding to what was heard. So I think I'm certainly in favor of moving forward, at least with what I see, having missed the conversation last time, but trying to gather that. But to Councilman Rasmussen's point as well, it's focusing on the behavior is what we can do, and I think that will show show responsiveness to what was heard. At least at some point, there's no way to satisfy everyone. You can't just outlaw bikini baristas. You can't do it. That's just off the table. You can't do it. So it can't be about the clothes, because then otherwise, car washes, anything like that, you get into trouble. So certainly, I hear what you're saying. I think we are where we are with that. I'm in favor, in favor of seeing this back in a next week or whenever for an ordinance. But I appreciate what people have thrown in. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Just to clarify a couple things I said earlier, I'm in favor of changing the language. I think it's a step forward. I agree. I don't think it'll solve the issue, so I think this might come back and we might need to look at enforcement more, look at it more closely. I'm not in favor of limiting people getting out of their car and not being able to walk up. I think before we limit somebody's ability to have a business and I'm sure there's plenty of people that walk up and are simply getting a coffee. So I think before we go down that route, we would really have to have a compelling reason to limit somebody's ability to have their business and limit their customers. Even though dress might be an issue, I'm not in favor of regulating dress. I'm not in favor of going down that road. I think changing the code to clearly make coffee stands and drives through public places is, and clearly defining what lewd behavior is the first step. I think obviously enforcement goes with that, and I know that's been an issue and will continue to be an issue. And thank you for the clarification on the sexually oriented business. That's a separate issue. If it was a sexually oriented business and it was proven to be, it would be zoned differently. It wouldn't be able to be in the area it's in. So I appreciate that clarification because that's what I was thinking. So that's it. So I am in favor of moving forward on this also. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I want to echo Councilmember Cutterback's comments, including the dress code issue and the drive-up window issue. I can understand Councilmember Hanford's intent with that, and I can agree with it. But again, limiting a business's ability to bring in a customer, I don't want to use the term legitimate. It's legal. It's a legitimate business. But to be able to have their customers approach them as they want is an important freedom. And that's really it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, just clarifying. Also, one of the other concerns that we heard quite a bit about from people as well was the dress, but and I'm the first to say you can't outlaw bikinis, but there's a difference between a bikini and a pasty and a thong. Mm-hmm. So have we looked into those regulations? Is that something that we can look at changing? What, because if I remember right, we did talk about that, that was a concern. And we said to you, Mayor, yeah, we know we can't outlaw bikinis, but like I said, there's a big difference between the two. So
I think if our other council members interested in looking at the clothing, looking at the issues that Councilmember Hanford just brought up.
Well, I think knowing where the line is important, you know, what crosses the line in it becoming, you know, more sexually explicit or a business that is prone to that. I think there's a line somewhere. I don't know what exactly that is. I know that wearing a bikini is not that line, but
so
what moves it over that? Is it a thong or is it other things? I don't know. I would say probably not a thong, but
one of the things that we can look at doing is there is a preceding section of code where the definition of sexually explicit is. And again, I'm not going to get into the what's written here, but I know that there are jurisdictions that will talk about, we'll just call it coverage, and certain percentages and whatnot. And I can certainly talk with Gene about following up with our attorney to see if those the coverage of different body parts is something that could be added into the sexually explicit definition. And by modifying the definition of sexually explicit in the code that I'm looking at here, and I'll just say it so that it's recorded and we can come back to it later, under 9.06.010 and then D, that the things that are listed under that are not allowed in certain public situations. And there's a statement in 906.020 that talks about making it unlawful to display sexually explicit material where, for example, minors can see witness that behavior or that material or those activities. So what we can do is if you're good with the material that we've brought forward today, the ordinance, let's talk about the other type of material that you're looking at. If you're good with the ordinance, what I can do is work with Gene and our attorney to see if we can add in coverages under the sexually explicit or another section of code. Does that sound good, Gene?
Thank you. I actually already had that discussion with the attorney, and
okay.
There were concerns about going down that road. It's already defined, I want to say, under the sexually oriented business part of our code.
Okay.
It's fairly graphic, but it does talk about coverage, exactly yeah. What we're talking about, and there's amendment right issues and all those types of things going down that road. So this was Zach's best attempt to get where the council wanted to and stay within something that was defensible.
So what would council like to do? Would you like to push the issue a little bit more, or would you like to stick with what we have here?
Well,
and so I see that Councilmember Camp and Councilmember Cutaback had pushed their lights. Councilmember Camp, we'll go ahead and take you, and then we'll go to Councilmember Cutaback, and then Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the issues, I have discussed this issue with some baristas, and one of the issues, one of the items that came up is safety concerns.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealing with scalding hot water. And I've asked them, have you gotten burned? What's the effect of, you know, safety clothing, safety equipment in order so you don't get impacted by dealing with this hot water? I don't know if that's been looked at. I don't know if this is a direction that we would want to see, if the state has requirements for safety equipment for a barista working at a coffee stand or wherever. That might be something we want to double check. I'm sure there's ways to get around any safety requirement you have, but that might answer part of the problem.
Okay. Councilmember Cutaback?
In the just kind of reading in the Linwood code, they have the definitions, and they talk about nudity, talk about what coverage is a little bit there. G-strings, thongs, you know, they talk about how that is, that attire doesn't comply, isn't, it's insufficient to comply with the requirement. what the coverage they're asking for. So I don't know, you know, looking at that and looking at what's in our sexually explicit definition, and that I don't have that in front of me, and how that defines coverage, but it might be kind of looking at that and having our city attorney look and go, is there anything that we can add that is defensible? I don't know where that line is again, so maybe looking at it a little bit and seeing, you know, do we define nudity in there versus, as they did, the Linwood did in their code. So might be a way to push it a little bit more, but not to the extreme.
Okay, so what I'm understanding then, just to summarize so that I can hear myself say it, I guess, is that if we were to add in the term nudity and maybe not allow nudity as defined here in the Linwood code as an example, that would be a way to address some of the coverage issues that we've been discussing?
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, like the city attorney to look at this and, you know, quickly looking at it and seeing if could be a way to address some of the issues that you brought up, possibly.
Okay. Anything else, Councilmember Cutterback?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford?
I think that's what we need. We need there to be clarity, not just us as a council, but as a city, as the citizens. We need the clarity. What is the line? Where is the line so that we know when we can call the police and say there's someone nude serving coffee, or when they're not nude and it's completely legal. And I think that night we heard person after person, and I've witnessed myself, when you drive by and if they're wearing a thong and they bend over, you see everything. And so it's at what point is it not legal anymore? We need clarity. If it's nudity, then my understanding is, okay, now we've got a sexually oriented business. So then it should follow a different set of guidelines because it's that business. If it's not nudity and it's just bikinis, then it follows coffee stand regulations. So I feel like we're close, but we need to be able to separate the two. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
just looking at the 10.0407, the 740 with the Linwood Municipal Code, it sounds like what you're looking for is what is written there in the Linwood Municipal Code, where it says public indecency prohibited. It makes it unlawful in any public place, which we are changing the definition to explicitly state that a coffee stand is a public space. Would prohibit under 3 there, appears in a state of nudity in a public place other than a public place provided or set apart for nudity, which is your sexually oriented businesses that you were referring to.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has, you're right, under definitions, nudity. And again, I'll just read the things that are PG-13 rated. So G-strings, T-backs, thongs, and other things would be prohibited. And then there's a list of other things that the newspaper can look up if they want to. So is it council's direction or consensus then to look at incorporating the Linwood Municipal Code, the public indecency section, to apply to public spaces in our code? Is that council's direction?
I'd like to at least have Zach look at it.
Yeah, have the attorney look at it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Not opposed to it, but yeah, have him look at it, please.
Okay. All right, so we will not bring back the ordinance next week or the week after, but we will bring this back as a discussion when Zach is here so that we can discuss this with those changes. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I appreciate that because I think that allows us then to go back to our constituents and say, you complain about all this stuff, and this is what we found, this is what we can do or we can't do. So it gives us kind of a resolve,
yep,
an answer.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. All right. So we will, Jane will follow up with our attorney and with the chief. And we're not. And yes. And we will be back.
Yeah.
We'll follow up with you. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and move on to the next item. on the agenda. Let me close these windows. And the next item on the agenda is under new business. This is AB 15008, discussion, official newspaper. Gene?
Thank you again. Every year we are supposed to go through and choose our official city newspaper. It's defined by RCW that the city should go through a RFP process. Back in 2005, the city decided to use the sole source provision. However, I believe it's best for us, and the city attorney agrees to go through the RFP process as defined by state law. So that's what we're proposing to go back to. In order to follow that process, we would need to go back and repeal ordinance number 2005-023 and direct mayor and staff to issue a request for proposals for legal publication services in accordance with RCW. Open for questions.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question on procedure. Do you repeal a resolution? Because you had mentioned ordinance, but if it is a resolution, is repeal still the right way that you do that? Okay, very good. Also, when I first came on, this was a discussion as well. There was, before the online version of the Monitor, the agenda was literally coming out the day after we actually had the meeting. Sure, it was published, but it's been an issue for a while. I know it's different now that it's online, but there was talk of some other local areas that might, other publications that might get it out a little bit more timely. So I'm certainly in favor of doing it. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts on that.
Okay, so let me clarify one thing. Does state law require that the agenda be published? Is that?
It's my understanding on our website is what's required.
Okay.
That is correct. There is no state law that requires publication of an agenda in a legal newspaper.
Okay.
So it does need to be posted on the city webpage, which is where it is posted initially.
The reason why I asked the question is that you all received an email, I think, last week or the week before indicating that we're not publishing the agenda anymore, except online as required by state law, and that'll save us
$6,000 to $8,000, something like that.
Yeah, $6,000 to $8,000. It's something that we haven't been required to do for some time, and so we won't be publishing the agenda in any newspaper, but it'll be published online. This relates to the publication of legal
official notices,
right? Yeah, like public hearings and things like that.
Yeah. All my comments are still the same then. We should go out to them. Art.
Okay, cool. I just wanted, since there was an email, I wanted to make certain
that
we divided the issue.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
I move to repeal resolution number 2005-023 and direct the mayor and staff to issue a request for proposals for legal publication services in accordance with RCW.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Cuttebeck. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is under final action. This is AB 15009, Lewis Street Combined Sewer Separation Project. And Jim.
Kevin, you want Jason's seat?
Thank you.
No.
And again, for the listening public, while we're waiting for this, there are treats back there. Brad has found them and reminded me that they're there.
Okay, last week we did a presentation on whether or not to have trees downtown Monroe, and we kind of had a few questions on the suitability of wheel stops, stop cars versus curbing stop cars. And what we found was that basically not even doing a good job of stopping cars from entering the pedestrian area. The main purpose of wheel stops is to notify a driver that they've gone far enough into the parking space to be out of the driving lane. The website we saw referred to it as inadvertent vehicular intrusions. Usually it's, when somebody goes to hit the brake, hit the gas, then they jump into a building or
post office.
Square, post office, yeah. And neither the curbs nor the wheel stops do an adequate job. The best way to stop that is some kind of security collar. Basically, a steel post usually has got some kind of a sleeve over it to make it look nice. They can be lit, they can be unlit. We came up with some different types of bollards. These are actually lit bollards. They are security bollards. They're made by Forms and Surfaces, that's actually the name of the company. They've been tested by using a finite element analysis for crash testing simulations. They do require that the two bollards be parallel and that a vehicle strikes both of them. So when we use them on Main Street, we wouldn't have a straight line of bollards. They'd have to be offset for each parking stall in situations so a vehicle would run into them. But they would stop a vehicle going 40 miles an hour that weighs 5,500 pounds. The lighted section is a steel tube that sits over the steel portion of the top of the car. They're supposed to be 3.5 feet apart, which isn't very far. We estimate that East Main Street would require 100 bollards to adequately stop the cars. About $4,000 per bollard by the time you light them up and set up the bases that they need. So it costs about $400,000 in added cost to the Main Street project.
For East Main alone.
East Main alone.
Right.
I'm continuing on just the East Main with West Main being a kind of a ditto type project. Reliant Industries has decorative bollards that are not lit, but they will stop vehicles. They're basically just a steel bollard that's set in concrete. They make these plastic covers that go over them. They're about $115 a piece. They would not have to be set in a straight line.
They would not?
They wouldn't have to be set perpendicular to the parking stalls. They'd be set in a straight line along the curb line. Problem with those, the cars will run into them. They'll damage the cars. People will probably file claims against the city for damage to their vehicles because there's nothing to tell them when the wheels should stop before they hit them. They also make a decorative cover for the steel bollards. These run up to $972 a piece. The steel posts are about $50 a piece to buy them. They want them in a concrete foundation with reinforced steel. So we estimate it'll cost about $300 per bollard by the time you throw in the concrete foundation. Plastic covers are about $150 a piece. The material costs somewhere between $500 for the simple plastic covers to $1,300 if you get the really decorative ones. Main Street will require about 100 bollards. Just the plastic covers on the steel posts cost us about $50,000. The decorative ones cost us about $132,000.
Okay, before you move on to wheel blocks, Councilmember Hanford. Sorry, I was looking at Gamble. did you have a point of clarification before he moves on, or do you want to wait?
Okay. Just a quick question. The bollards, how do they attach to the ground so you can remove them for the street fair idea?
You don't. The bollards are stay put.
Oh, they don't come out at all.
But they're about 42 inches high, so people can see them, they can walk around them.
Okay.
You don't have the trip hazard that you can have with the wheel stop.
Okay. Thank you.
Or a curb.
Or a curb.
Right. Thank you.
And I don't have a slide up here, but, you know, if we aren't looking at just stopping cars, we could go with a flexible wall. That would be the same as having a wheel stop in that it won't stop a car from going into a building. But if a car hit it, it would bend, flex back up when they left. It wouldn't damage the cars or very minimal damage, if any. But again, it's no better than having a wheel stop out there. They say that about 40% of vehicle and person accidents result from pedal error. Put a slide off the brake or hitting the gas pedal by mistake. It's most common amongst drivers that are between 16 and 20, and then those over 76. Again, they're not sufficient to stop a car from doing an incursion. They're just made to let people know when they pull the car up into the parking space. These are plastic wheel blocks. We looked at the concrete ones. They're $200 to $300, or 300 pounds a piece. They'd be extremely difficult to remove and replace. They also make some out of rubber tires. Those have like a 1 to 2 year warranty on them. The plastic ones actually come up with a 15-year guarantee against breakage. They weigh about 30 pounds a piece. They're 100% post-consumer recycled plastic, the equivalent of about 194 belt chucks running into the landfill. The color goes throughout the baller, so if they get scraped or chipped, you don't see, you know, a different color. So the main color of the baller or the wheel stop we buy. They only take 3 fasteners to hold them down, and the ones with recycled tires take 5. So these should be easier for staff to remove and replace for that reason. They would have to be installed perpendicular to the parking stall to work properly. And it'd just be 1 wheel block per stall. We estimate it would cost about $20,000 for the wheel stop. West Main Street, if council decides that we should do a Comanche East Main Street, we estimate obstructions at about $330,000. Because of staff time constraints, we would like to hire an outside consultant to do the design for us. That would add another $100,000 to the cost for about $430,000 plus whatever feature we decide to put out. So we use wheel stops or ballers, it'll add to that cost. So, budget impact for East Main Street. I went most expensive to least expensive. So it's the lighted ballers, the decorative non-lit ballers, the plastic non-lit ballers, the wheel blocks. The flexible ballers would be about $21,000. So they're almost the same price as the wheel blocks themselves. West Main Street project with lighted ballers would be about $830,000. The decorative ballers would be about $560. Plastic covers would be about $480. And with wheel blocks or the flexible ballers would be about $450,000. What we would like council to decide tonight is whether or not we want the no curb festival layout for Main Street, or you want to go back to curb and gutter. We need that decision tonight so we can continue our design efforts. And then we need to know whether or not the council wants to go with West Main Street matching East Main Street. Last week, I think the council had mentioned that the funding for the baller can come out of the refund. And that, I understand that fund is very low on the funds. It's a question of whether it will be able to supply it. For East Main Street, we might be able to get the Department of Ecology to pitch in and help pay for it. They're doing 75% of the cost of separating the stormwater from the sewer. We might be able to convince them that, you know, this is part of putting the street back together. But if we can't get Ecology to pay for it, we can't get it out of the refund, the only fund that we're aware of that come out of the MPPP.
All right. So what I'd like to do, since we've got two subjects, I'd like to make certain that that I'd like to see if council would be okay with discussing the curbs versus wheel stops, and then talk about the West Main as an add-on. Would that be okay with council? Sure. Not saying that I'm going to be so strict that you can't combine the two, both. But yeah. Okay. All right, Councilmember Guerin.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mayor. $100,000. Actually, my first question was about something that was West Main. That's why I wanted to start about that. The time constraints, $100,000. We know what we're doing for East Main, and I mean, you're doing the same thing on the other side, aren't you? So it's probably not that simple, obviously. But you know, in my thinking,
time to we've got to get a survey of the property done so we can start the design. We need to get a geotech hired and out there to tell us. What are infiltration rates to be for the soil increase, or will it have to be something else before? That's probably going to take us 2 or 3 months to build the house, which then gets us to May before we can really get the design done. We're going to have this done by the middle of August. We really have to start construction on it probably by the 1st of July. That'll give us 6 weeks to get it done. So it's just very tight crunch for staff to do it. We've also got to finish the design for the Blue Street project, which has to go up ahead by the middle of next month. We're working with a consultant on the design for Sharon's place extension. We've got lots 5 and 6 where we have an infiltration design we have to do. We have a sidewalk going from about 174th to the roundabout on the south side of Main Street that we need to get designed out this year for construction. I'm missing one. The Main Street gateway is design and planning from an outside consultant. That's a few hours a week talking with them. So down one engineer since Scott been promoted to the design and construction manager. And one engineer can't get all that work out. If we had, especially if we had East Main Street or West Main Street. So it's mainly a time factor for us.
$100,000 is a lot of money. That's that exponent, you know, that really jacks up the cost of this. And, I mean, certainly my preference to find a way to get it done in-house. I'm just expressing my preference. I understand you guys work hard and you got a lot of stuff, and it's good to be busy, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. As far as to go back to the first one, along with what the mayor was saying, I was pretty good with the wheel stops. I was pretty good with the wheel stops. One, and just from a financial standpoint as well, I think they're going to still look good. It solves what we want to do, and you see that I've seen that in a lot of places. If you have an angled parking spot, you're going to have an angled. That's not out of the ordinary, and that's not something that you don't see everywhere else. I've seen it in many towns where you have those wheel stops. Ultimately, the bollards, I think they'll look cool. I know you love lighted ones, but I mean, we were just doing
what ifs.
Yeah. This is going to be the opportunity to make something look really good here in town. And wheel stops they're not going to not look good. These are all going to be improvements to downtown from that standpoint. And when you look at the cost breakdown of one over the other, doing those will most likely allow us to do both with a lot less impact to the budget than were we to go to bollards on one side. I would also think we might be able to do bollards at a later time. We'll come back and do it later. So wheel stops would actually allow you to, you know, get it going, have it look nice, you know, hey, we're doing something downtown. And then, you know, evaluate bollards and perhaps at a later time. Concrete versus plastic. Sounds like you're kind of leaning towards, kind of steering us towards plastic a little bit. I certainly hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. You know, what can I ask what the... What's the lifespan? You said like 15 years on breakage. What would it be for concrete? And I've seen broken ones for concrete, and they look bad. You know, I've
concrete. I didn't look the lifespan. Most of the ones I've seen for concrete, they're set down and they're secured in one place. They're not picked up and moved all the time.
Right.
And you know, they could probably last 20 or 30 years if they were in one place all the time.
But if the intent is to move,
pick it up and move it two or three times a year, it's going to get jostled around, it's going to get bumped, it'll get a lot more chipped.
Versus a plastic one, which is designed to be more portable anyway. Right. Right. No, I appreciate that. All right, so I'll recap at least what I'm thinking. I'd love to do West Main. I don't think we can do bollards and do West Main as well. I'm in favor of wheel stops. One of the nice colors, the plastic ones. I'd love to, and if there's any way to save the $100,000 and do it in-house, I know you guys are busy. I just don't think we can, if we can do it within REIT and the things like that, then I think that's great. If we're going to go outside of that, I'm not comfortable with it. So those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring brought up one thing that, because we were talking about, we were talking about lit bollards at one point. Mm-hmm. What ifs, because you need to know what the costs are. Mm-hmm. One of the things that is important to recognize is that those sidewalks and curbs were put in the mid-70s. And then we put lighting in the early 2000s. And so this is the best time for us to be looking at this and thinking about what can we do now to make an impact to the downtown. So whether it's with curbs or wheel stops, I'm kind of partial to, just like Councilmember Gehring, to the wheel stops. This is a time for us to create sort of a plaza, Main Street Plaza or focal point or whatever it is we want to call it, where you can have festivals, where you can end the Faraday's Parade, and maybe the Chamber can have a little festival of some sort right there where people will be ending the parade on West Main. And that's a separate topic, but we'll come back to that. But as Councilmember Gehring pointed out, and I had the discussion with staff also, is that by putting in the removable wheel stops today, you have the ability in the future to go back in and put in lit bollards or architectural bollards. You have the ability to do something like put in 4-foot high planters that that can give you an interesting street edge where you can have interaction and whatnot in the downtown. And like I said, the improvements that we have today, the sidewalk improvements have been there since the mid-70s. So it's sort of setting in motion a foundation. It's setting a foundation that we can add to, that future councils and mayor can add to, to revitalize downtown. So let's go ahead and Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I love the plastic idea, and I love the idea of being able to get different colors. And I think that when it's time to do that, maybe working with the chamber and with what we're trying to achieve with parking, be a primary opportunity. If we're going to say 15 minute, our white ones or something like that, to help make it real clear. And then I'm assuming we could paint right on the 15 minute limit, right on the curb itself. So as you pull in, you see it, and you can read right there as well that it says.
I don't know how well painted will stick the plastic ones. I would have to ask them. I know that you can order plastic ones that have lettering on them.
So that. Yeah, well, that would definitely be something I think we should look at, because I think that would be really nice. The ones that there's not the limit, obviously we wouldn't need letters on them, but just an idea. And I would love to see both sides done at the same time. And same thing, if we can do it in-house, that's going to save a lot of money. I know you guys are swamped, so appreciate all your work. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I know you're leaning towards the plastic 15-year breakage guarantee. You mentioned the rubber has a 1 to 2 year warranty, but can you give us an idea of what the lifespan is on the rubber ones?
They wouldn't give me a lifespan. They would give it a limited lifetime warranty against manufacturer's defect.
Okay. And so then the cost breakdowns that you have listed here for us as far as East Main versus West Main, the $20,000 for the wheel blocks, that is based off of the using the plastic wheel blocks, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Those are the big questions I have. Now, Councilmember Kemp, if you don't mind, you and I had a brief discussion last week based off of a comment that we heard as far as in relation to the pervious concrete. And I believe you mentioned that the wheel stops had to be installed on, I guess, normal concrete. And so there'd be pervious sidewalk, normal concrete, and then pervious. Yes, okay. So, question that came up that I was curious about that strip runs parallel with the sidewalk, but yet our parking is angled. And so if the wheel stops have to be installed on that non-pervious concrete, I'm just looking at that going, okay, we've got...
What we were toying with doing was basically extending the slope of the sidewalk to include the width of the wheel stop would have to be. So it'd be sloping away from the building with 1.5% out into the parking lane. And then as the parking up and approach the wheel stop, the right wheel would start to climb, kind of giving an indication that it's time to slow down.
Right. Okay, got it.
And the wheel stop would be on a flat plane, the slope would be the same as the sidewalk, and then it would slope up from there back to the road.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
The band of concrete, 2-3 feet wide, you think, to accommodate the angle? Maybe wider?
Look at this pattern.
Just 4 feet wide.
4 feet wide. It gives you an opportunity, Council, to have a pattern, to have color to the concrete separating the pervious concrete from the pavers. It also gives you an opportunity, which the chamber has sent us some ideas called uplighting. Uplighting. Apparently, was it in Fremont?
Yes, downtown.
Downtown?
Westlake Center.
Westlake Center. So that would, of course, increase the cost. But the point is that there are all sorts of different treatments that we can do. Dyeing the concrete or having a pattern or something, and those are things that we can look at, and whatnot. You begin to get a different image of this plaza feel that we're creating out there. That a few or several times during the year we can have festivals and whatnot. So, okay. Councilmember Rasmussen, did you have anything else?
No, I'm good. Thank
okay.
you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I'm in agreement with pretty much everything that Councilmember Gearing said. I would love to do the bollards, obviously. I think it's a funding issue at this time, so if we're able to possibly put them in later, that's an option, obviously. Yes? Okay. In favor of the wheel stop versus the curb. And I know we're talking about this next, but I'm in favor of doing both East and West Main at the same time, so hopefully trying to keep the cost down also. As far as the type of wheel stops, last April I started leading the staff team that manages all the properties for all the Ys, so it's been an education for me. We have wheel stops, we have curbs, obviously, in different parts of our parking lot, so a couple issues that we've had is that the wheel stops, we have concrete ones, we've used plastic ones, we've used the rubber ones. The concrete ones are quite heavy, more durable. We had to use rebar, so they're pretty, they're not movable, but we use rebar to really plant them down. So I don't see those as an option here. The plastic ones and the rubber ones, what happens over time is if the car bangs up against them, it loosens them, and they're put in with these big screws that are easily to pull out. So one thing is for maintenance is that staff might have to periodically go around, and when you're doing something downtown is make sure that they're tight, because what's happened to two cars in two of our parking lots in the last year was they bumped up against it, and since some cars now have really low over that, if they're a sporty car.
Ground effects, yeah.
Yeah, so the wheel stops get loose, and then the car gets kind of stuck on it, and it pulled and then pulled somebody's car and damaged the front of their car. So I think that's just a maintenance issue, just to be aware of that when we're maintaining the wheel stops, that we're making sure they're securely fastened so they're not getting too loose as we go on. So, but I'm in favor of doing it. I think it's going to create a look downtown that we want to move towards. I think the plaza feel, all of that, and that if we can look at the ballards and the lighted ballards in the future would be ideal. That's it. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for your work on this, and thanks for researching that curb and wheel stop. Neither of them stop a car. We had a driver actually go over a wheel stop in a curb and hit a Y building in Mukilteo. I mean, if they're going to, if they put their foot on the gas instead of the brake and they gun it, the curb isn't going to stop them, or a wheel stop, or both. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make clear that the electric or the lighted bollards were not the end all for me.
Okay.
I was still looking for, I wanted the plaza effect and the bollards with it.
Yeah, totally.
As a matter of fact, the lighted portion of it came up after I left the meeting. So, but I thought they were really cool.
Come on, you got a picture of them on your fridge. You know.
Oh, you can. I do.
My you guys need to get
we'll
out.
We'll get
more.
You a T-shirt.
Anyway, great job on all this research from our meeting back in December.
December.
That long ago. That and all the questions I threw at you, and they've all been answered. I'm really impressed, so thank you very much. It has lights. I'm sorry?
It was the whole department.
Oh. Credit to everybody. Thank you very much. I think it's a great idea. Everything I've heard, it sounds like it's realistic, and I think the effect it'll have on downtown will be immense. It will really change the look and feel and make it a more welcoming area, and hopefully that will increase traffic flow and pedestrian and make it a good area. That's all I got.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, I think the question was, I like the plaza idea, but I think the question was, will the wheel blocks work? And I think I like the wheel blocks, and I think that'll work fine, and I'm all for that, so I'm good with it.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Brazel. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you. I got an upgrade.
You got an upgrade. We're saving some money this year.
There you go. I just wanted to commend council for jumping on this opportunity. As the mayor said, it doesn't come around very often. I mean, the lighting project that we did was 15 years ago. And so seizing the opportunity is really smart on council's part. One of the things we did kick around, I think Diane and I talked about it just briefly, is the contingency fund. That was a fund that was set aside for council to do projects with. If special opportunities came up, such as this, or purchasing property, that was also an option. So I don't know what the funds are in there, but Diane could probably speak to that. I just wanted to make council aware of that.
So the discussion that we had earlier this evening was that that while staff could go back, and this is related to the wheel stops, while staff could go back and talk to Ecology about whether or not the $20,000 could be counted for the East Main portion. Remember, that's where the Ecology coverage is, that's the scope of work there. That if the answer were no, the next option could be to see how REIT is coming in for 2015. If there are suddenly a lot of land sales in the first quarter, maybe things are looking really strong. And then finally, if 1, 2 don't work, number 3 then would be looking at the contingency for the $20,000 for wheel stops. And again, this is on East Main. Okay. To what I'd like to do now, unless council would like to do something different, is to take the first requested action, and then we can move on to the second And Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I move to authorize the permanent removal of the vertical curbing along East Main as it pertains to the Lewis Street Combined Sewer Separation Project and incorporate wheel stops to protect against the inadvertent vehicular intrusions.
Second.
Thank you, and thank you for catching that. Who was the second? Councilmember Rasmussen. First from Councilmember Gehring, second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Okay, let's go ahead and move on to the next item. The cost of the project, as I understand it, would be from the sewer fund. Okay, for the additional...
And storm.
Okay, for the additional $100,000 for design, if we can't do it in-house, what is the source of funding for that?
Same.
Okay. And are there adequate funds to cover both of those in that fund?
Yes.
Diane?
Water and sewer capital.
Oh, yeah.
$5 million, respectively.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we will, regardless of what the motion is, I would assume that the motion would include the design cost, but we will go back and talk with staff about whether or not we need to hire outside. So Gene and I will follow up on that. But it sounds like council is generally supportive based on the comments that were made. Again, that wasn't a formal vote, so we'll come to that. But I would like to have a vote on this evening so that we can begin the work. If council is supportive of it, I would like to have the work on West Main done in early August so that our Fair Days Parade this year can end at our new Main Street Plaza on the west side of town. So that's I think that that's something that people would like to see, people would like to touch. This is part of the community, and I think it's very meaningful to have that before the Fair Days Parade. So... Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. With that, I'll move to authorize a new CIP project, the West Main Street Combined Sewer Separation Project, to be completed during the summer of 2015 and to include similar design elements as those applied to East Main Street through the Lewis Street Combined Sewer Separation Project.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Camp, and I have a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion, Councilmember Gehring?
No, thank you. Councilor Camp, what's the intention of your motion with regard to the either in-house or not outhouse or outsourcing of
yes. I was like, that's not going to come out right, is it? Outsourcing of the...
Yes, do we have to have a caveat regarding that?
I'd like one.
I would,
but
if you'd like to make a friendly amendment.
I'm trying to figure out where you're going. If that's something that's... You know, if it's a little bit more open-ended, I'm a little. I'd like to know before we officially say yes. You know, where we're going to go one way or the other. I know that there's time that's needed, but I understand we want to have it done before the end of the fair.
Right.
I think that's great too, but that's not worth. You know, if we need to have the reprioritization of projects to maybe bump this one up to meet that deadline. So that we don't have to spend the money, I'd certainly be in favor of that. I don't know how to word that. I would be more comfortable moving forward with that. I don't know how everybody felt. I just wanted to throw that out there before we voted.
You say
$100,000 is a lot of money to meet to August deadline. It sounds as if though it might be able to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, in house, it just makes everything very tight and. Not trying to burden folks, but I mean, if we're going to make this a priority, then it becomes maybe a little bit more higher priority up the list, perhaps. So, anyway, wanted to throw that out. And since you made the motion, I was looking at you, but I wanted to understand: was there something with regard to that you were saying, or did you want to leave it generic?
I'd rather leave it generic. I would like to see it back in time for Fair Days, if that's the question.
The in-house or outsourcing of that work for the extra estimated $100,000
would be in order to outsource it. We'd have to outsource it in order to meet the 2015 deadline, correct?
Not necessarily. That was the recommendation was to do that to make sure that we could. But the time frame that was at least that I had heard originally was it, at least it sounded as though it wasn't your recommendation. You didn't want but you might be able to.
It can be off the mark.
Okay.
To make that
Would you yield for comment?
And I Scott, did you?
Well, yeah, I just
wanted to... I appreciate any information, yeah.
Scott, go ahead.
I wanted to get a clarification. Again, I'm half an engineer. We're currently advertising for a new senior engineer position. That hasn't been fruitful so far this year. Kind of love to have another staff member, but it's not here. So we have a plate full, and then we have this new project called West Main Street on the horizon. So the concern we have as a department is if we can do what's been presented to us already for 2015 and this new CIP project and have it done by the Fairhaven Project. That's a really tight thing. And we, you know, we want to be able to perform against these projects because there's some festival and stuff that will be dependent on this. You talked about reprioritizing some projects. You know, we mentioned, of course, Lewis Street. It has a funding deadline. I didn't. A lot of our other projects are also grant awarded and grant based, and they're to be expended this year. So they have this year's deadline. The projects we have in the hopper essentially can't be pushed down a year to another season, to 2016. So I guess the concern is it's not that our staff has the experience of doing West Main Street. It's not that. It's just everything's stacking up right now. And we're kind of going, this project out the door and be done by August. We really need more help. And if we don't get another employee, then the only other option is ask a design consultant to make that choice. So that's why we were looking at more of the sure thing. We are design consultants. What is our employee telling us?
No, very good. I really appreciate that. That's good. And many times there are those, we have to do it in 2015 or we lose, you know, X, Y, or Z. I absolutely understand. We need to keep moving forward, though. So I appreciate that for clarification. Once again, how would we be paid? So this would all be paid for, and I thought we just went over the numbers. So it's all out of sewer and water.
Except the wheel stops.
Except for the stops on both sides. And if it's 20 grand over here, it would be
20 grand.
20 grand on both sides. It's 40,000. Maybe we can get someone to pay for it. Otherwise, that would be a contingency. The request would be, would council consider doing it out of the contingency fund to do the wheel stops? All right. I feel better after that explanation. Thanks. That was awesome. All right. So are we good? Anything we can do to reduce the 100 grand? I'll just leave it at that. So, very good. I don't think we, if everyone just, we don't need to add anything to the motion. As long as that's your, you know, I wanted to make sure if you had any thoughts on that because you had left it generic. That's my only concern, but it is important to not reprioritize. Those are things that are off the table. So, All right.
It's okay. Any other comments or questions? So we have a motion to authorize a new CIP, and as I understand it, we'll be coming back for probably for a budget amendment to reflect this. Yes.
It'll be the first budget amendment, which usually takes place in April or May.
Right. So you'll be seeing this again. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, Council.
Thank you.
Yay.
See you, Chamber.
See you.
Thank you. And I think I owe Jim a box of donuts.
Right. I want to commend you and your staff one more time. Jim.
Jim, I heard a Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I just want to commend the staff, city staff, great job.
Absolutely.
Rambling conversation we had from 2 months ago, or a month ago.
It was a month.
Yeah. Speak for yourself.
Thank you.
You don't.
Jim. Scott. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda is AB 15010. This is final action number 2. And let me pull up. Okay, and Gene, do you have this?
I do. This is just our housekeeping matter that we do every year, selecting Mayor Pro Tem, representative for French Creek Flood Control District, Snohomish County tomorrow, and then the council members to our various boards, including who's going to sign the bills this year.
Good times.
All right.
Hasn't done it.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I'm not going to make a motion yet, but I'm going to nominate. I'd like to nominate Councilmember Kevin Hanford as Mayor Pro Tem for 2015. If he might be willing to accept that nomination, we can make a motion if you're good with that.
Yes, I'd be honored.
Thanks. In which case, I will move to appoint Councilmember Kevin Hanford as Mayor Pro Tem for 2015.
I'll second.
The first from Councilmember Gehring, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion? Councilmember Cutterback.
I wanted to thank Councilmember Camp for his service.
Thank you.
This past year, you did a great job. You have that radio voice.
Totally. No,
I great
totally
job agree. As Mayor Pro Tem. I really appreciate it. And I think it's great to elect new people to do that role, so I think you'll be great.
Thank you. Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next item is for the French Creek Flood Control District Joint Board. Gene?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Do I have a motion to appoint a council member as a representative to the French Creek Flood Control District Joint
I'd like
Board?
To do it. Oh, yeah, give it to him. Okay. Well, I'll do it.
Awesome.
I have a self-nomination from Councilmember Camp.
You can self-nominate.
Okay. Councilmember Camp has made a motion to appoint himself to the position. Councilmember Cutterback agrees with a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 6-0. There was no discussion on that. Next one is appointing a council member as a representative to Snohomish County tomorrow. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I've done it in the past. I've done it for a couple of years, so I do know what's going on. You were you've done it before too. If nobody else is interested, I can certainly will throw my name in again. I don't know if anybody else is interested in doing it. So big
I'll
no
nominate.
For Betsy. I appreciate
Councilman
it. So
there we go.
Okay, is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Second, I have a motion from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next one is to appoint two council members to review and sign the bills. So do I have a motion for the first council member?
Who hasn't done it?
We've been doing it for last year.
I did it.
Oh, you
before.
Did?
Put it right in between
I haven't done it yet.
Councilmember Camp and Rasmussen.
There you go.
Put a box right there.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion to nominate Councilmember Rasmussen and Councilmember Hanford.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion to appoint Councilmember Rasmussen and Councilmember Hanford to review and sign the bills. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next one is to assign committee council members to the 2015 Legislative Affairs Committee. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Does anybody want to move? I know Councilmember Gamble's not here, but he wants finance. He didn't want to be really on anything else. I've been on everything, so I didn't know if somebody else wanted an opportunity to be on finance. I'd be happy to swap with somebody if they want to.
I don't want to be on finance. I would like to be on legislative affairs.
Since I'm already on, I was on both of those previously. I can't swap with you, but maybe one or the other. And actually, if you just wanted to come instead of me, then that would be fine too. I'd be happy to give that up. I was last year, yeah.
Okay, I wanted to be on legislative affairs this year, but good.
Okay, and I'd be, yeah, if you'd want to do that, then that's great. And I will.
So, who else is on?
Okay, so
do you guys all want to, everybody wants to stay on the same thing, P4? Well, then let's just make it easy and do that then, right? So, we just have one swap. You're going to take legislative, which I had.
Mm-hmm.
Finance, P4, legislative.
Wait a minute, because I really want to get off of finance. I've done that for 2 years.
I'm sorry. So there would only be two people on finance. Does somebody else want to be on finance? And we just have two?
Let's go ahead and let's take care of the first one. Motion to assign the same council members that are already on the 2015 Transportation Planning, Public Works, Parks, Recreation, and Public Safety Committee. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring and a second from Councilmember Camp. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Okay. Let's go ahead and take care of the Legislative Affairs Committee. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to assign Councilmembers Hanford, Davis, and Camp to Legislative Affairs.
Okay. I have a motion from Councilmember Gehring. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 6-0. Last one is related to finance and human resources. Councilmember Gehring.
Move to assign Councilmembers Gamble and Gehring and Gamble and Garing to the 2015 Finance and Human Resources Committee.
Second. Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Garing, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember
Cut. Or point of order on that. I just want to make the point that if only one person shows up to meeting, there will be no quorum and the meeting will be canceled. That's just a note there, that if you only have two people, people have to be there all the time. So just for your consideration.
Thank you.
Can I amend my motion?
Sorry. Councilmember Cutterback?
Well, I was going to ask you to amend your motion
Indeed.
To
yeah.
to appoint or include Councilmember Rasmussen
need to be recognized.
In the group.
Let's just vote the last motion down. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion fails 6-0. Okay, let's come back to the motion. Councilmember Garing.
Thanks. I move to assign Councilmembers Garing, Gamble, and Rasmussen to the 2015 Finance and Human Resources Committee.
All in do I have a motion?
Second.
Second? Thank you. First from Councilmember Garing, second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item that we have on the agenda is Councilmember reports. Yes. Councilmember Garing.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Davis.
Good.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Nothing for me.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Great chamber meeting today here in Dr. Hoover. Speak for the last time at a chamber meeting. Thank him for all of his work that he's done in Monroe and for our school district. Look forward to seeing his work carry out. So, but it was a great meeting. And
excuse me.
Glad I was there.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight. Thank you.
Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing tonight. I'm just double checking here. No, nothing tonight.
Okay, thank you. Let's go out to staff. Mike.
Thank you, Mayor. Things going on in parks. We have an RFP out for concessions, and that's due on January 22nd. I'm preparing a solicitation for quotes for resurfacing the athletic courts at Lakeside and Red Street Parks. Our crew's been working, they noticed Island on Main, Lewis, adding some soil and planting bulbs donated from Fred Meyer in there. And they've also been working a lot on flood damage repairs that are still also waiting for some of the water to recede in the south parking lot. So we'll be reopening areas as you know, the water recedes and we can make the repairs. Outside of that, I'm just doing a lot of planning, scheduling for events for 2015. And then the last thing I want to bring up is I sent out an email to all of you this afternoon. I found that there's a meeting tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. It's the Snohomish County, in Snohomish County Building and Everett. It's the Operations Committee for the Snohomish County Council. And the topic of that meeting is presentation on the master plan of the fairgrounds. In that email, we have a link to the Snohomish County webpage that has, you can download or look at PDFs. There's the map, and there's also presentation points for this meeting tomorrow, and there's also the draft plan. And I did not make hard copies of the plan because the plan is really that I go through it, but I did make copies of the presentation points and the maps, hard copies for your information. So this you can pass along to the council. I plan on attending that meeting tomorrow. It's a public meeting, and also our chamber director will be attending with me. So, in the hard copy, I just want to add one thing. I've just been going through the hard copy of the master plan, and in the first section, there's a section called Master Plan Recommendations Detailed Planning Guidelines, and it's pages 31 to 34. And in there, they have they really speak to some of the issues or I guess the interests of our city that you've raised in the past with regards to improvements to the fairgrounds. And that would be the community impact on neighborhoods, edge development definition. And what they mean by that is look more inviting to the surrounding community. With edge development definition, street edge, the proposed bike trail, the line of street edge, surrounding grounds, things like that. And I know they talked about sound walls as well. So you'll find that, you know, within that draft plan. And that's about all I have to say.
Thank you. One of the items that I know Una has spoken with me about was related to the idea that there would be a sound wall or some sort of barrier. As you know, there's already a chain link fence there with slats. Una has spoken with me a little bit about the interest of creating a more inviting or more engaging view or connection between people on Highway 2 and the fairgrounds, so that it feels a little bit more like part of the community, and so that you can see activities that are going on in there. I know that Rosie Tatel has been in here talking about pedestrian safety, both from 522 onto Highway 2 and also along Highway 2 right in front of the fairgrounds, and whether it's that the fair is in town and people are walking from Fred Meyer over to the fair, or it's people who live down 179th who are crossing and then walking in front of the fairgrounds. It would be, I think, beneficial to have a better connection, like a separated, like a sidewalk or something to provide for better safety for people going to the fairgrounds or just people getting from their neighborhood south of Highway 2 and over to Fred Meyer. So I think those were a couple of the items that Una had expressed an interest in from on behalf of the chamber. And I know Mike will be there tomorrow, and I may take time off so that I can be there as well. If any council members have any questions, please let Mike know. And in the meantime, Mike and or Una will come back and give a presentation in the next week or two about what they learn. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Council member Cutterback.
Mike, do you know how long that presentation is? And it's at 1? Where?
It's 1 p.m.
Okay. You don't know?
I didn't really say
okay. I'm in Everett until about 12:45, so I might be able to swing by there. So I might be there.
I wouldn't be surprised if the meeting were about an hour. Yeah, and if nothing else, you could be there for part of it and then leave. That would be great. Okay. Any other questions or comments for anything related to the Parks Department? Okay. Diane. Okay. Chief.
Tomorrow, if we also have something at 1 o'clock, we have soon-to-be Officer Pam Baker graduating from the academy tomorrow at the Criminal Justice Academy, and we're looking forward to that. And other than that, that's it.
Thank you, Brad.
Just a couple things. The written report is part of your packet, so we'll just point out that the planning and permitting part of the public works department worked on 999 permits last year, 856 which were submitted last year. So, had lots of activity going on. You also got an email from me this afternoon. This included the draft goals and policies for the 2015 comprehensive plan, along with a land use map of the proposed land use designations, and also a link to a slider map that allows you to align the slide the little bar in the middle back and forth, and shows the existing land use designations, actually at that side, and the proposed land use designations, so you can see how things compare. This is in preparation for the joint meeting that will be held on the 27th of January at 7:45 p.m. over at the fire department to meet with the Parks Board, the Planning Commission, and the Citizens Advisory Committee. And so to please review those before then and have your questions, comments. I gave some thinking points to you about how to review them and things to keep in mind when you're reviewing them and come with your ideas of what you'd like our policies to be. And if you have any questions, you may call.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I do look forward to that. I saw about 4:45. I saw the, and then I saw there were attachments. I'm like, oh, that's what, yeah, that was what I was asking for last week. So I appreciate the opportunity to start looking through it in advance. And I assume we're going to be having some healthy discussions here. I certainly have my opinions on what should and shouldn't be. So just if I could ask really quickly about so the joint meeting, is that more of an open forum thing? Is it going to be a report from the Cascade Group? Or
Cascade will be there.
Yeah.
And so it will be, you know, a facilitated discussion of thoughts of correction we should be doing, what the policy should include. So many ideas I put in the email was like, should we have policies on things that are already in ordinances? You know, we require
that. And I saw that. Yeah.
Should we have a policy requiring that so sometime in the future we know that, well, that's why we have that ordinance, or, you know, things like that. So just how specific we want to be in our policies, because we also want to make sure that we keep the document something that isn't too cumbersome. And, you know, it used to be 36 pages of policies in the comp plan. And,
yep.
You know, supposedly we're supposed to go through and, you know, is this development compatible, consistent with the comp plan? When you have 36 pages of policy, it's really hard to do that.
Exactly.
And, you know, make sure there's no internal inconsistencies. So, we, you know, depending on which section you read, you can say, yes, it is consistent, no, it is inconsistent. So we want to make sure that we can tighten that up so we can, you know, really know what the direction we want the community to go. So you just can't, you know, if you read half the things it says go this way, if you read the other half it says go that way, so we want to make sure we have a good direction for our growth in the next 10 years, for 20 years for the plan.
Sure. I appreciate it. Look forward to that meeting. Yeah. And we spent a lot of time cleaning up stuff, you know, in the last couple of years that really shouldn't have been in there. So it might keep thin is good, in my opinion, but very good. Thank you very much.
Just a couple of observations on the documents that would have been sent to you. Recognize that it's not part of, it's not a complete document. You have just a list of policies and goals. And the list that we initially saw just before New Year's was more, there were more goals and policies than there are today. Staff and I went through them and tried to consolidate them, shorten them, and again, remember, this is just Appendix C out of a document that that'll be so recognize that there are descriptions that are not in there. Recognize also that there will be changes in development regulations that stem off of this. This is when you're looking at it. If you think you're just looking at a list of ideas and policies and whatnot, yes, that is what you're looking at. And there you go. There's also the map, and the map is will. I think the slider is a really useful feature. It allows you to see what was there before and then what is there. Literally, it's like a PDF. I'm sure there's something else. We won't get into what it is, but there's a line, and as you move it this way, it shows you what's there today, and then as you move it this way, it shows you what the new thing is. So you can go back and forth over a series of properties. So, okay. And if you've got any questions, just let us know. We'd like you to be prepared. Unfortunately, we have until June to adopt this, and there may be some jurisdictions that may have done something like this 4-5 months ago. So, anyway. All right. Anything else, Brad?
No, that's it.
Okay. Let's go, I guess, to me, and then we'll go to Gene. A couple of things to follow up on. The community transit route, I sent off the letter on Wednesday morning, and that Thursday morning, and there was a public meeting of the community transit board at 3:00 on Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I know that Phil from the library and Mark Avney from the Senior Center were both able to attend and took a few other people to it. I understand that Monroe was very well represented. We have a meeting to meet with a staffer on Thursday to talk about their concerns. Their main concerns and the reason why they don't want to go on Village Way is that a westbound bus, as I understand it, would turn left across oncoming traffic to come into Village Way, but the hard part for them would be to turn left to continue westbound. And currently they don't do that. It's just a loop. They go out, they go around the loop, and then they come back before they go back to Everett. So this is making a one-way, whereas today it's a loop, and they use that to get out. And one of the things that I know was expressed is that you're talking about the inconvenience of a bus turning across oncoming traffic during the PM peak hour commute versus pedestrians that are going to the senior center crossing across that same traffic in addition to the walk to get down there. So again, I want to thank everybody that was able to show up to that meeting on Thursday, and we'll come back with a report. The Community Transit Board will be making a decision in early February, so if you have any other comments, if you have anybody else, constituents that are concerned about this, I would encourage them to email the Community Transit Board, and if you need that email address, Liz or Jean can get that to you. Okay? Are there any questions on that? Okay. The other thing that is going on this coming week is that on Thursday night is the Snohomish County Cities meeting. I have volunteered to be put down for two things with PSRC, one of them being the Economic Development Committee, the other one being SnowTrack. There's a second alternate, and we'll see if that's something that they want to task me with. But I just wanted to let everybody be aware of that, and I'll follow up with you to let you know what's going on with that, with those committees, and how it impacts Monroe. All right, I think that that's all that I had for now. Jean.
Just to let council know that we still have the senior engineer position that was mentioned. It's still open for applications, and same with the community development director. So if you have anybody that may be interested, please pass that on to them. This Friday I'll be attending the most important meeting that I attend every year, which is the WCA board meeting. While they don't make it mandatory, they reduce our insurance rates, and it saves us around $300,000 or something like that if I go to the meeting. So I will be there with Ben, and the fire chief will be representing the fire department. So that's where I'll be on Friday.
On the subject of going places for meetings, I think we have the AWC legislative conference coming up, and have any council members replied to want to attend that this year? Okay, so are any council members interested in attending the AWC legislative days this year? It's in February. I can ask Liz to send out the information again. Okay. And so watch for your inboxes. She should have that out probably not later than tomorrow afternoon. Does that work, Liz? Okay. And I would ask that you get back to her ASAP. I know that I've already made reservations. Jean's made reservations to be there. And Liz, are you going to be going for clerk training like you did last year?
Not at this time.
Okay. You had a riveting thing about Robert's Rules of Order last year, right?
Last year, after the session was over, they offered an session on parliamentary procedure. So if anyone wanted to stay in to that, they could do that. I do not know if they're doing that this year. One caveat I will add to the discussion is that registration is tied to hotel rooms at the location. They fill up fast. So if for some reason we could probably get you in later, but you may not be staying at the location, which is the Red Lion in Olympia, you may have to stay somewhere else. Currently, our two registered persons attending are at the Red Lion, and of course we will be trying to set up meetings with our legislators at that same time, and whoever goes from the city would attend those meetings.
Okay. So please let her know ASAP, and you'll have an email probably by tomorrow afternoon. And we'll come back to Jean. Did you have anything on the public records report out from last year? That's in your packets.
In your packets, quick overview. This is our tracking log. Contact information, which we did not put out to the public. Briefly, 152 requests last year. We have three that are still pending. I was just trying to close up. We have one large request that we're still dealing with from 2013 that's still on an installment basis. So, and I think we've had about five requests at the beginning of 2015. Again, this is just City Hall only because we're by the City Hall and the police department is separate. And then just to note that the fire department is also, or fire district is completely separate, and they have their own process completely separate from ours. I did a quick five-year comparison, like averaging about 152 requests a year. And we'll just continue with this annual report unless there's a need to have this more often. And I just want to thank all of staff that helps out, because this includes a lot of cross-departmental work to put these records together. and to get these things done in a timely fashion. So thank you to all staff, and I hope all the managers will reiterate that in my thanks to staff. Let me know if you have any questions.
Any questions or comments for Ms. Smoot? Okay, seeing none, we'll come back to Gene.
Thank you.
Please continue.
I forgot to mention, in regards to the court, we had our first court hearing last week, and it went really well. We only had one hearing, and this week we will have a whole afternoon full of them, I understand. I can't remember the exact number of how many we have planned, but it seems to be working well.
Good. And somebody did notice that the podium's been moved. Do you want to talk a little bit about a couple of the changes? Not only were your chairs lowered last week and cubbies removed and carpet was put down, but we've also moved the podium, and you were talking about...
Correct. What we're hoping to do this year is to make it a little more user-friendly, get rid of the tables. We're looking at replacing all of those to something that's movable, because staff has to drag and carry these around several times a week for depending on what meeting we have. So if we can get something that's on wheels that'll move around, and then that'll afford citizens to be able to walk up here, hand you stuff, shake your hand, all those types of things. In addition, we're looking at moving the projector and either getting something that hangs and projects on the wall, or doing away with that altogether and putting TV screens up to where council would have a screen look in this direction, so you wouldn't have to get up and move, and then the citizens would be able to look this direction. So those are some of the things that we're looking at doing this year.
We were talking about having like nesting chairs, you know, things that are easier for the staff to move. And part of what's promulgating this is the fact that the court needs a different layout than we have here. So, and then when you come in here during the week, is it an octagon? Okay, so there's an octagon there in the middle, and you've got staff moving this stuff, like Gene said, multiple times during the week. So, okay, let's go ahead and move on to the agendas.
Draft agenda for January 20th, 2015. Under announcements and presentations, we'll have the Sky Valley Food Bank here, Mr. Neil Watkins. We have a public hearing in regards to the six-year transportation improvement program. The consent agenda, under unfinished business, we'll be discussing the elected official term limits. Under new business, we'll have the ordinance establishing elected official salary commission. That's the first reading. H3O will be discussed. The public defender backup and conflict agreements will be discussed. The draft policy regarding water, sewer, and storm outside city limits, that will also be discussed. We currently have a project that's just outside City of Monroe. It's kind of like in the Robin Hood area. Is that pretty accurate, Brad?
Roosevelt Ridge
area. And so we'll be discussing their needs and kind of what council's policy is and what we've done in the past. So, and then finally, we've got the impact fee report that finance will be putting out and the draft agenda for January 27th.
Okay. Got a couple questions or comments, Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, just a quick question about the Sky Valley Food Bank. He's doing another present. Wasn't he just here last month?
Here, yeah.
A couple months ago.
Pretty sure it was last month because I.
Clerk.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a follow up to his presentation from last month.
Okay.
If you recall, at your meeting, Mr. Watkins proposed a community wide food truck. So that's basically what this is going to be about.
Great.
A meeting with him.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring?
Thanks. I know it says executive session if needed. I think the chances of that are probably highly likely since Zach's here next week. I think we had discussed that in our meeting last week. Is there a potential spot where that might go, or just leaving it there for now and you just put it wherever next week?
Yeah. We may be filling that in.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Thank you. Gene, whether it's next week or in the next couple of coming weeks, can we get an update on some of our land sales or their land that's out there? If there are updates, just be nice to hear.
Have Gene here.
I'll do that. Thanks. It'll be short.
All right.
Thank you, though.
Okay, so we'll target that for January, I'm sorry, probably for February 3rd. You'll notice that January 27th is the, moving to the extended agenda. January 27th, we're going to be having the joint meeting with the City Council, Park Planning, Park Board, Planning Commission, and the CAC, and we're meeting at Fire District Number 3 in their training room, since there are so many of us. And so we will begin with a regular meeting. Pastor Hanford will present on the Monroe Coalition, and then there will be a resolution supporting the school board bond, and then establishing the elected official salary for final reading. And then after we're done with that, we will then move into the joint meeting for the 27th. So we'll go ahead and move that other item to February 3rd that was just brought up, if that works. Does anybody have any questions about the 27th? It's a little bit different meeting than we normally have. Okay. Yes?
To reiterate, it is two separate meetings.
Yeah, okay.
Your regular business meeting will be here.
Right.
And then you will adjourn, which is why a short agenda is so that you can adjourn and have time to move to the new location, okay, which will be at Fire District Number 3.
Okay, and what time?
Special joint meeting.
And what time does that meeting start over there?
It is set to start at 7:45. However, the provision is that when we notice for 7:45, it means you cannot start any earlier than 7:45, but you can certainly start later if for some reason your regular business meeting ran longer.
Okay. Thank you for underscoring that. Okay. Any questions?
Nope.
Okay. Gene, anything else?
Nope. I'm good.
I got that. No,
false alarm.
False alarm?
False alarm. Okay. I changed my mind.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else for this evening? Okay. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Cutaback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. And